Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Much of our joy and sense of fulfillment in our lives, I believe, comes not so much from what happens to us, but it's our perspective. It's how we look at what happens to us. Because how many of you guys know that we can either consider ourselves victims of a string of circumstances we call life, and we can be involved in self-pity, and always kind of, we can kind of be an Eeyore, right? You know Eeyore, the donkey that always walks around with the rain cloud over him. You know, we can have that heart. And sometimes so much is going on in our life, we feel that we deserve to have that attitude. As a believer in Christ, it's not just about being positive. It's about having a different perspective of this world that we live in. It's about having a different perspective of life altogether. We are to view life differently. We need to have a kingdom view. Amen? Say kingdom view. Okay, that's the last time we're going to do that to you guys. I always hear pastors on the radio saying, oh, I'll do that. But it's a classic, right? Got to throw it in there. Like, God is good. So, now that doesn't mean we're able to connect all the dots and the circumstances, but as Christians, we really need to understand that life doesn't just happen to us. We happen to it. Amen? As believers in Christ, we need to be happening to this world, not letting this world happen to us. Because so often, we invite Christ into our lives, and it's all about day-to-day trying to feel better about ourselves. But eventually, we need to get on with doing the work of the kingdom. We've got a job to do. Amen? We've got a job to do. And so, the Apostle Paul, in this particular passage, he has a missionary partner, Silas, and they go to this city in ancient Europe called Philippi, and there's not a lot of Jews in here. I guess they don't have a synagogue in the town, but there's not a lot of Jews. They are, and there are a certain amount of circumstances that are happening. Now, we're going to join them while they're in an odd predicament. They find themselves in jail. The apostles always seem to find themselves in jail. So, right, as we've been reading through Acts, boy, they spent a lot of time in jail. Today in the world, there's a lot of Christians spend time in jail. So, let's take a look at what happens to them. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So I opened up with that because it's kind of interesting. They were beaten with rods severely. They were put in an inner prison. And usually the response when you're thrown in jail is not to sing, right? It's just a little weird. But they begin to sing hymns. Now, a hymn is, that's a song that gives praise to God. We know what that is. And so they're singing praises, and they're just worshiping God. in the darkness. I mean, they're in the darkest place of the prison. And people, it says the prisoners were listening to them singing. And then just the foundations shake. All the chains come off. That'll preach on its own. Amen. This is going to be fun today, gang. So they find, how did they get in here? How did they get into jail? It's kind of interesting. If you back up, and you can read the narrative on your own, but there were these circumstances, right? We're going to look at a chain of circumstances, one after the other. They were preaching and preaching the gospel, doing great. That this they went outside on the Sabbath day. Notice it was the Sabbath day and they were working. They went outside and they preached the gospel. And this woman, Lydia, got saved. And they were traveling. And this girl who was possessed by an evil spirit that helps her to tell fortunes. Oh, by the way, the reason you guys don't want to get involved in magic and tarot card reading and fortune telling and talking to the dead and consulting with mediums is because they do it under the power of evil spirits. We know that because of Leviticus, right? So just an aside, unless you want to be messing around and collaborating with evil spirits, you want to stay away from those things. That's why. So this possessed woman, she's basically a slave to these two guys who own her and basically are pimping her out to tell fortunes and all these kinds of things and make them a lot of money. So she follows them for days. These people are going to tell you about Jesus Christ, right? And she's, you know, how many of you guys know we don't need the devil giving testimony, amen? That's our job. And so Paul gets irritated. It said he was annoyed. And so he cast the spirit out. Now, that caused some trouble because all of a sudden all this power that she had through satanic forces was gone, right? Amen? It was just gone. In the name of Jesus. And they didn't know what to do. So they grab Paul and Silas, and they drag him before the magistrates, and they get a crowd around him, and these guys get beaten. They get thrown into jail. Now here's the thing that you need to understand as a believer in Jesus Christ is when you are making progress for heaven, you can expect hell to push back. When you are making progress for heaven, you can expect hell to push back. Amen? Because the devil doesn't want you doing God's work. Now, we all know that persecution is kind of obvious. You know it when you see it. We know we're going to get that pushback. But most likely, we're not going to be thrown into prison. Most likely, we're not going to individually go to jail. But how many of you guys know, just like these guys, the devil stirred up these guys. He agitated them. How many of you guys know that the devil can stir up people in your life and cause trouble for you? And sometimes they're the closest people to you. And you're fine. You're living your Christian life. Maybe you go to church. You're doing your thing. But you just start, okay, now I'm going to get involved in ministry. Now I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to make a dent for the kingdom of God. Amen? I'm going to start ministering. I'm going to stop with my excuses, and I'm going to move forward, right? I'm going to sing. I'm going to minister. I'm going to tell people my work about Christ, right? You're doing something for the Lord. And the enemy looks at that and goes, oh, really? Okay, let's send somebody to stir up the family. Let's stir up a situation at work where you start getting blamed for something you didn't do, right? You think everything is fine, and it just comes out of left field, and you're going, that is so weird. Why is all this stuff happening? Duh. When you try to move into the spiritual realm and start really making damage from the kingdom of heaven, hell's going to push back. But you know what? We win. See, you can't get intimidated. You cannot allow the devil to intimidate you. I remember when I started... I've been in ministry for about 30 years, been pastoring for about 20, and I remember when I started, man, you talk about resistance. Now, some of the things were just me. I have to learn how to do my job, right? How many of you guys know that you can't blame the devil for everything? Sometimes it's just, I need some skills. I need to learn how to do this pastor thing a little better. But there was stuff that was just out of left field, right? People that I thought I was good with, I had a good relationship with. But the devil will stir up and agitate anybody. Now listen to this. Who's not walking with the Spirit. And that can be a believer as well as an unbeliever. How many of you guys know the devil can use Christians against Christians? Didn't we just talk about legalism last week? And how many churches are still in the grips of legalism, right? Adding to the Bible things that aren't even there. You know, just trying to be obedient, live an obedient life in this flesh is a challenge. Why are you going to put extra rules? Seriously? So what we have is a hurdle that we got to push through. See, on the other side of each trial is a version of you that looks a little more like Jesus. Did you know that? The problem is that the moment we get some resistance, the moment we experience this resistance when we're trying to do the work of God, some people, they go in like a turtle shell. They just close up, right? Go into protective mode. Oh, I'm not going to do this anymore, right? I remember this lady told me, this is a long time ago, she said, you know, Pastor Dave, every time we try to go to we start going to church, things just start happening in my family. There's conflicts, I'm arguing with my husband, and all this stuff starts going on every time. And I knew what the issue was. There was something demonic, but she wasn't ready yet to hear that. But she had to be delivered of some things. But the issue was, she just said, so what? So what's your solution? Well, we just stop coming. And I think, wow. But you see, gang, if we push past the trial, on the other side of the trial is a version of you that looks a little more like Jesus. This is what it says in, I'm kind of paraphrasing in my own words, I believe it's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, but it's that we, looking into the face of Jesus, are transformed. We, with his glory, we look a little more like Jesus every day. Now, how do we get that? Just going, yep, I'm just standing here, and eventually I'll look like Jesus. No, we do what Jesus did. We also experience pain like Jesus experienced. We also encounter trials. We encounter difficult people, right? And then we got to be loving and, oh, how am I supposed to act? Well, you can't act like the world acts. The world's like, get out of my face, right? But as Christians, we can't do that. We're going to, oh, I got to love them. Lord, how do I love them? They're irritating, right? Is it hard to love irritating people? Sometimes I could be irritating, but you love me. Praise the Lord. It's like, that was irritating. Pastor was irritating, but I love him. He's okay. Thank you for your grace. So when we push through this trial, though, what I notice is on the other side of it, I'm a little more confident. Not in a arrogant way. I'm a little more confident in my faith. See, this is how our faith gets built, right? Our faith gets built. When we go through that trial, we do something for God. We experience the trial. We experience the difficulty. The devil's agitating people around us, trying to discourage us, trying to get us to give up. And we go, no, I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to push through. I'm still going to serve the Lord. Even if I feel junk, even if, you know, people are saying stuff about me, even if something's going on, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. Go to your knees in prayer and trust in him. He will defend you. God is my defender. Amen? There are people, we were just talking this morning, there's people, it's been 20 years now, I've actually made a lot of enemies as well as friends. And really, it's just because, why? It's just, as, if you're in any position of authority as a pastor or ministry leader or whatever, that's just the way it is. But as a Christian, you're going to make enemies and you're going to make friends. And some of the people that used to be your friends will be your enemies. Didn't Jesus say this? I came to what? Bring a sword. Yeah, Jesus said that. You're going to mother against father, right? Children against one another. So we have to realize it's not always going to be that way, but to push past it, to get on the other side of the trial, and to get to that place where we increase just a little in our faith, right? Amen? There is gold on the other side of the hill. There really is. Push past the trial. Don't give up. Don't go, oh, man, all this stuff's going. Yeah, I know. That was going to happen. You knew that, right? You know, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. If you guys get that, you're just as dated as I am. Now, what I really am interested in is when they were singing, though. See, that's something. How do you get through? How do you get through these things? See, where two or more gathered, God is in their midst. But where two or more sing praises to him, chains are broken. Let me talk to you about worship. I love worship. You know, because before I come here and worship, I go over the message, but you know what I come before worship? You know what I do? I worship. Before that, during the week, I worship. I love worship. Because, man, you just get into the presence of God, amen? And just the world just falls away, and you just see Jesus. I mean, if you're having a hard time seeing Jesus, put in some of these top worship CDs. I mean, go to YouTube or Pandora, whatever you got to do, man. Put those commercial blockers on. But anyways, those are irritating, right? But you get into the presence of the Lord, or if you play guitar or play an instrument, you just get into his presence. And during these trials, man, see, worship is a weapon, gang. Prayer is a weapon, and worship is a weapon. When we worship God, what are we doing? We're giving praise to him, right? We're saying, I love you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, God, you are so much greater than my problems, Lord. You are so much bigger than anything I'm going through, God. Lord, I am yours and you are mine. I'm an instrument in your hands, oh, Lord. Mold me and shape me, oh, God, into the servant, Lord, that you desire. If you want to see how God sees you, go into Revelations, and it shows them all dressed in white before the throne. That's how God sees you, dressed in white before the throne. Amen? Isn't that cool? See, we don't see ourselves dressed in white. We see ourselves dressed in rags. And we see ourselves like just all torn up and bust up before the Lord. And we go, oh, man. But God doesn't see us like that. When he looks at us, when he sees his son Jesus, he sees us in white. And we're before the throne and we're worshiping him and saying, Hosanna, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. As the cherubim and the seraphim are worshiping him, we're worshiping along with them, and there's power. You see, Paul and Silas knew there was power. And it wasn't like magic, not like that, but that they would call out to God. And they would worship him and give him glory and praise in the midst of their trials. And God said, yes, watch this. And delivered them. And he will deliver you as you worship him in the midst of your trials. You give him praise. Amen? Is this good? Okay, I'm not just talking here like, oh, that's happy talk. No, this really works. I'm telling you what I do. This is how I live my life. This is how I can get victory. Because I hear a lot of talk about victory, and it's like preaching and singing and preaching and woo, victory, but I don't hear a lot of instruction. I'm going to give you instruction, gang. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, and he will help you to have victory. Maybe it's sin in your life. There's a lot of things. There are chains that need to be broken. There are prisons that need to be gotten out of. Now, let me give you three things about this singing. They were in a very dark place. They were in the inner prison. You know what the inner prison means? No light. They were in darkness. They were in darkness, they were in chains, and they were beat down. Anybody ever feel that way? Right? And that's not a metaphor, that's reality, gang. You might not be in a literal prison, but you might be in a prison in your soul. You might be going through depression right now. Christians get depressed. Just go to the Old Testament, look at all the prophets. A bunch of depressed guys. But God was with him. David was discouraged many times, but God was with him. He said, Lord, even if I go to the depths of the sea, you're there with me. Wherever I go, you're always there with me. I can travel in a boat. Jonah tried to get away from the Lord, and the Lord was at no, right? You're my servant. I'm going to go after you. See, once we're the Lord's, that's it. Where he is, he's like mine. The devil tries to stir something, gets distracted, and the Lord's like, mine. Did you hear me? They're mine. They're my servant. And I will be with them in the darkest places, whatever they experience. So whatever you're going through this morning, gang, maybe it's a sin that you've got in your life, and you hear me up here preaching, and you're going, man, that sounds hard. And you've been struggling with it, and you're going, and you feel bad because you come to church and you hear stuff and you see people that seem to have it together, and you go, shucks, it's so hard to overcome the flesh sometimes, overcome sin. Worship God. Worship the Lord. Pray to him. Worship him. Give him honor and praise and say, God, please break these chains in my life. Break the chains of my addiction. Help me. Oh, God, please to stop. I don't want to do this anymore. Because, see, addictions, that's the devil's remote control. That's how he even controls many Christians. And what Ross was saying earlier is true. Why is the church like dead bones? Because we let the devil have our remote. We basically, the church becomes chained down like a beast. But what happens if the chains drop off of that beast? And that beast that is actually the church rises up. And we start doing damage for the kingdom. Amen? We need to start with worshiping the Lord and giving him the honor and praise he deserves. We need to stop editing the gospel. We need to stop buying into what's on television, what's on the media, and what they say the new morality is. There's no new morality. Morals is just morals. It's universal. God lays it out. We obey him. There's only one that we stand before. You don't stand before any courts or any senators. You stand before the Lord Jesus on the last day. Amen? And I know it's hard. There's struggles, but we can be in that prison in our own souls, discouraged sometimes. Go, man, I don't feel like, I see people, they seem to have victory, they seem happy all the time. You can also have that joy in your life. You can have that happiness. Amen? And here's the thing is that not only does worship overcome the darkness, notice that Paul and Silas were singing together. Gang, we were meant to sing together. Amen? We were meant to sing together, and I'm not judging anybody, but I think it's really sad because, especially in America and in the West, so many Christians have stopped going to church. I mean, you are the church, so I mean, you can't literally stop going to church, but they've stopped gathering, and they become weak, and they become easy prey for the devil. And here's the thing is, if there's no resistance at all and you can be enjoying your life, yeah, the devil's not going to bother you. Why? Because you're not a threat. Why is he going to expend his energy and his war plans on somebody who's not a threat? But when you become a threat to the kingdom, you'll know it. But I'm not judging anybody because I remember a time that, you know, I stopped going to church. It was like 2 or more years or something like that. I just surfed every morning, you know. I tried to get away from God, but that was because I was in sin. I was living in sin. I knew I was living in sin. I'll just tell us that I was shacked up, you know, doing things I shouldn't be doing. There was something that I felt was dead in me. But when I got back to the Lord, you know, I mean, things in my life had to kind of fall away, fall apart. It was like an onion had to be peeled, had to get down to the core, and then God could work with me and shape me into who he wanted to be. And sometimes you just got to be willing to be shaped. Amen? But we were meant to sing together. I think that's the thing is we can sing on our own, but sometimes it's hard. And that's why we come. When we come and we sing corporately, the church is Jesus' vehicle to minister to the world. But when we try and go outside of the vehicle that he's ordained and anointed, we try and do things on our own, we're going to fail. But when we come together in the church, as imperfect as we are, and we sing together, and we worship together, chains begin to fall off, not only in our lives, but the lives of the people we're right next to. A dark moment may lead us to a lifetime of light for another. This is what happened in the prison because the chains were loose, because they had worshiped and they'd sang, because of what had happened, the jailer and his whole family were saved. How many of you guys know, and maybe you don't, but you should know, that right now if you're going through something, there are people that don't know the Lord that are looking at your life and observing you, and they're wondering how you're dealing with it. They are. There are the people that you work with. They're the people in your family. They're your aunties, your uncles, your nieces, your nephews. There are people in your life that are observing you. But when they observe how you deal with trials, they observe that you can worship, that you're not perfect, but somehow with Jesus' help, you're able to push through. Say push through. Okay, two times, I'm done, okay? Sorry. I was just kind of felt really cool right there. Anyways, so when you go through trials, when you go through difficulties, it's not without reason. As hard as it may be, as difficult and painful as it might be, there are reasons. And you may never figure it out. So please, when you're consoling somebody, just console them. But please don't say, well, you know, God's got a reason for everything and their kid just died or something, right? I mean, we need to be sensible. We know that that's how it works. But this is for you. This is for you to take into your heart, for you to understand. So that even when we see our loved ones going through things, we can look and we can pray for them. God, I don't know what you're doing here. Or I don't know what's going on with this person's life, but God, I just lift them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And hopefully they'll do the same for you.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.